Thanks for downloading this bonus episode of the IVMB podcast. I'm Corey, and on Wednesday, Andy and I had the opportunity to serve as audio engineers for the Cubs broadcast with Len Casper and Mick Gillespie. We will talk about that experience on Sunday night's episode of the podcast. In this bonus episode, you will hear an interview that we did with Mick Gillespie right after Wednesday's game ended. And Mick, of course, is not only the play-by-play announcer for Cubs.com broadcasts, but he's also the voice of the Cubs AA affiliate, the Tennessee Smokies. So here is our conversation with Mick. All right, we are here at Camelback Ranch in the broadcast booth, and we're sitting here with the broadcast voice of the Cubs AA affiliate, the Tennessee Smokies, and then along with Len Casper, part of the broadcasting team for Cubs spring training games. And it is Mick Gillespie. Mick, thanks for sitting down with us.
Yeah, man. You guys are part of the team today.
That's right.
So I feel like I'm amongst colleagues right now.
I think that a lot of Cubs fans that listen to the Cubs spring training games are familiar with you, but maybe don't know about your history as a broadcaster. So can you kind of take us through your journey and what's gotten you to this point?
Yeah, well, I started out in college at the University of Alabama. My first job in broadcasting was as a reporter, but more of an intern with Alabama Public Radio, National Public Radio, and the All Things Considered report. And then from there, I got into working on the college radio station. And from there, I became sports director and then got my first job with a Woodbat team in Wilson, North Carolina, a year there. I went to Salem. At the time, it was a Houston Astros affiliate, and that was my first full season play-by-play job. I did a year with the Avalanche, and that was a Carolina League High A affiliate job. And then my first Double A job was as a broadcast assistant. But I went. I did all the games. I was on the radio every night. I worked with a guy that had been in broadcasting and still is for many years, Larry Ward in Chattanooga. It was a Reds affiliate. We had guys like Homer Bailey and Joey Votto and Ryan Hannigan and, you know, some guys that really stuck around for a long time. And then from there, baseball-wise, I went to Tennessee, to the Knoxville area, and became the broadcaster for the Cubs affiliate. And that was the first year that they moved from the other side of the state of Tennessee, West 10, to joined the Smokies, and at the same time started broadcasting games for the Crimson Tide Sports Network, and now I do some stuff for the SEC Network, so amongst other things. And then I think it was like five years ago I started doing spring training, and I've teamed up with Len, and that's been great. I've had a good time, and it's a profession that I always wanted to do, and I'm blessed to be able to sit here with you guys today and talk about it.
Yeah, so it's cool because as a lot of Cubs prospects get into these spring training games, you're in a unique position because you've seen these guys play in the Southern League with Tennessee. And, you know, in today's game, for example, you mentioned the catcher, O'Brien, was another guy you'd already seen in the Southern League. So you try to carry that history and insight into your spring training broadcasts. Is that a deliberate thing you do?
Yeah, I think that, like, if someone was, you know, someone were to say, hey, what's Mick Gillespie all about? Because everyone knows how good Len is. Cubs fans would probably get a little more insight on some of the guys. And they'll get an opportunity to see him really soon. You know, Chris Bryant's going to be there. Jorge Soler, you know, he's already on the team. Arismendi Alcantara. But I saw these guys before. And then there's some guys that might never make it. You know, a lot of those guys, and then they'll be here, and you can give a breakdown of what makes them good or where their struggles are or, you know, maybe some of the things that make them unique. But to take a guy like Chris Bryant, right now everyone, Cubs fans-wise, curious to when his first big league game is going to be in a real regular season game and when he'll arrive and all that. And I don't know the answer, but I can tell you that the guy works really hard, that he's a great guy in the clubhouse, that he treats the fans well, that he's phenomenal. He's the best most consistent player I think I've ever seen, you know. But I can also tell you that he struggles sometimes at third base, not with his arm, but coming in on slow hit balls, or, you know, sometimes getting down on hot smashes where he's got to make a quick move. But he's very talented, versatile. He can play a lot of spots. That's an example, you know. I'll take a guy that maybe isn't on people's radar, and that would be catcher Rafael Lopez. I love him. I think he's really, really good. He receives the ball well. He can hit at the plate. He's got a good arm, a good release, and he's left-handed, and he's developed. I've watched him go from, you know, maybe a guy that didn't get a lot of recognition in a Cubs minor league system that did not have a lot of catching talent, to now where I think he's the most big league ready minor leaguer that the Cubs have, and we saw him make it to the show last year.
So because of your history with these players, can you point to any other examples of maybe players that when you saw them at Tennessee, you know, they looked like there was a lot that they needed to work on or anything like and things like that, but then at this point, now you're seeing them in work their way into games, maybe later into games, and you see some big improvements with players?
Yes and no. I can't think of anyone in particular besides Lopez that I would say I saw a guy go from, like, where you don't really feel like they have much of a shot to a guy that got to the big leagues. I think it's consistency, you know, like with Jorge Soler, he got back from being injured last year, and you could tell the consistency at the plate. Or with Javier Baez, a player that I love watching. I think he's fantastic. He's clutch. He knows how to play the game the right way. He's very smart, cerebral, but he's struggling right now. He's swinging at pitches that aren't strikes, and that's all that they're going to set him up to hit is that. So I saw him make an adjustment in the minor leagues and start going the other way and start taking pitches and start walking, but he hasn't made that same adjustment here yet. So it's kind of the opposite. And I hear people criticize him or maybe give up on him a little bit, and I'm thinking, no, I've seen him do it. I know he can do it. It's just, how long is that going to take? And then you look at how old he is, and he's still a very, very young guy in baseball sense, you know, right. His early 20s. So I think the light will come on because I've seen it happen before. I think that's probably an area where Cubs fans will say, well, at least there's one guy that really believes that this kid can do it. He's always going to strike out. But the sooner that he becomes plate disciplined, the sooner he becomes the player that a lot of us think he will be. And then you just try to take that knowledge and put it out there. The toughest part, though, and I'll say this, is not being afraid to say it. And what I mean by that is that you can be in a safe spot by not making an opinion like that, not giving an opinion, not making a statement. And for the first couple of years that I did this, I thought a lot about what I would say about someone before I would say it, and I thought about what the ramifications would be if I got it wrong, right. If I would lose my credibility, or if people would even take what I said seriously. And I would talk about it off the air with Len and other people, and I was pretty consistently on the money. And Len made a comment about this on the broadcast the other day, and he's exactly right. When I'm watching these guys in Double-A, it's so easy to tell who the big leaguers are because they're so much better than everyone else. They're just better. They make the game look different. And he's exactly right. So I guess that, to me, is why I can kind of separate those players. But I look for someone's aptitude for the game of baseball. I'm not just, you know, trying to see if they can hit a home run or what their batting average is, but how do they run the bases, the routes they take for a ball, how do they block the plate, are they able to move runners? Because winners doesn't always show up on a stat line. And I'm more confident in saying, hey, this guy can really play if I see him do the things to help the team win. And going back to Javier Baez, I've seen him do it. I've seen him be a real force and be a spark that, when he was in Double-A, turned the Smokies into a middle-of-the-pack team, into a team that won the second half and very easily could have gotten to the Southern League Championship Series. Without him, they wouldn't have gotten close.
So are there, so we mentioned some of the big names in the system, and you mentioned Lopez already. Are there any other players that you kind of see as flying under the radar, you know, not the most heralded players in the system that you could see making an impact in the future?
Well, the top prospects are, and we've all heard the names, you know, the core four, and then Russell, and then Schwarber. And it's easy to tell why those guys were deemed the core four. The Cubs need to find a core four, though, of pitching prospects. I think that's the next thing. And could Eric Jokic be a guy that steps up and maybe gets to the big leagues and files suit on Kyle Hendricks? Kyle Hendricks would have been my answer to that last year. It's no surprise anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But he's the perfect example of this. I do work for CSN Chicago. I send them digital media interviews. You guys probably have seen them.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And I sent them a Kyle Hendricks interview, and I said, put it up. I said, just trust me. And this was before anyone was really talking about Kyle Hendricks. He was on no one's radar, but I just knew. I could tell the way that he worked the plate. I could tell the way that he set up batters. And the other thing was I knew how he worked. I mean, like I would be in, walk through the clubhouse to go do something, and he's over here crunching videos. And the other thing is, like, I'm a pretty knowledgeable baseball broadcaster because I played. And so I get the stuff that I couldn't do that is why I'm not playing, which is what I'm sure we all would wish we could do. And why, to me, I look for why guys are able to keep playing, what makes them special, what holds other players back. Kyle's the same way. I mean, he can tell what guys can't hit pitches. What guys can, he knows how to get guys on his own team out, and he knows how to get the guys on the other team out. I knew that you put all those things together, and this guy was going to be successful, and so far he has, and I think he's going to keep being successful.
Well, moving kind of to your role as a broadcaster, spring training games obviously have a different vibe. How do you convey that vibe through your broadcasts?
Well, first thing is you try to keep up with all the changes. The other thing is this. I broadcast these games like they're a regular season game. They're regular season to me. These are these are as important to my career as any minor league game that I'll do. So I don't think there's a lack of enthusiasm. I know there's other major league teams that probably have a webcast, and you know, at the end of the day it's a webcast, and at the beginning of the day it's a webcast, and that's that. But we've put together, I think, the best possible broadcast that we can. You know, we're trying to promote the different things that the Cubs are offering, whether it be tickets or you know, promotions, and really let like the core of Cubs fans know what the team's doing, you know, the different directions. So that part of it's important. And then the other part of it is like the game itself. There's 15,000 every game they play over at the new ballpark at Sloan Park. So there's an enthusiasm there that feels like a big league city. And if you go and look at Miami's attendance last year and you match it to what they're doing at Salt River, I bet you that Salt River's probably got just about as many people per game, you know.
Right, yeah.
So that gives you an idea of how popular these games are. And I don't mean to put Miami down, but I'm just giving you an idea. I mean, this is a major league team's regular season. These games count. These spring training games don't count. It, you know, there's 15,000 plus every game. So that makes it easier to show up and if we were doing games and it was 3,000 people, I'd still be fired up about it, but I don't know that it would have the same energy.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, being the voice of the Smokies, you function kind of as the play-by-play and the color commentator all in one. So doing these spring training games, how does your approach change when you're working with a partner like Lund, for example?
That's a great question, because there's three different styles of baseball play-by-play. There's the style that I'll use during the Smoky season when the team's on the road and I don't have an assistant, which is kind of like what Vin Scully, I mean, look, played the Dodgers today. You know, he works alone. Not to say that I'm anywhere close to as good as Vin, but I'm just saying that style where you're the color man, the play-by-play, you're painting the picture, you're doing a lot more of the detailed stuff. It takes me 3 hours to prepare. I try to have some stories that have to do with baseball, maybe not necessarily the team. I try to have information on the players. I try to get in front of the players and them tell me stuff. I love to go online and Google them and pull up things. And for these games, I've got notebooks and, you know, databases and stuff. And a lot of that comes from having to work by myself in the Southern League. And, you know, there's just nights where you might be in the booth for 4 hours, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's one way. What's cool, though, is, like, getting to work with Ron Coomer. And, you know, Ronnie's a great analyst. And that's a different style for me. And we did a game last week, and we're going to work together again tomorrow. And it's like, okay, Mick, look, you don't have to call the pitches. You know, I got that. And it's like, yeah, it's right. Wait a second here. I'm, you know, hey, then I say to him, this is a great chance for me to build a demo with, like, an analyst, like that different style, you know. And I'm lucky to be able to do that. And he's going to talk a lot, and he's going to be really interactive. And that's the style that the Cubs have, because that's the way that that it was done before with Keith. And then, of course, Ron Santo, who's one of the best and most enjoyable listens I've ever heard. And then, you know, Pat's a Hall of Fame voice, and kind of seeing how Pat does things. And you learn a lot of that, too, working with Ronnie, just because those two are teammates, you know. So, and then working with Len, it's two broadcasters. It's a lot less color. It's a lot more play-by-play. We kind of both have our own styles. You guys got a chance to see it today. It's a dance, you know, and you're kind of going back and forth. And I'm trying to play off of what Len's got going on. And there's times where I think Len's setting me up to say something, and I'll try to, you know, do the same thing for him and keep him involved enough where you know he's there and we're not just like two totally separate broadcasts. But at the same time, you know, we're letting each other do what each other does, you know. So that's a different style. So those three, I'd say the most fun for me is probably working with Len. I like that old school style of broadcasting. But I got to tell you that the other one's fun too. And I could see, like, you know, maybe if I was working with Ronnie all the time, really enjoying that part of it. Because I do also like just the genuine back and forth. And I can tell you about, like, you know, about Ron Coomer is he loves baseball. And I love baseball, so that's fun when you get in there. And the same thing with Len, but it's, you know, he's a former player, so he's got stories and stuff. And I'm curious, you know, so I'm always asking questions and just kind of seeing where he's at. So all in all three styles are great. Probably the toughest is when you're by yourself, because when the game stinks and you're going 4 hours and pitching's not good or a team can't play defense, and then you've got to try to get the audience through it, and you know that people really aren't as interested anymore, it's tough. And you got to try to keep them there.
Right, yeah. Well, okay, so you talk about broadcasting for the Smokies, and people anywhere that are listening to this can listen to those broadcasts. How can they do that?
Yeah, well, there's lots of different ways. First off, by tuning on the radio, if you're in the area, to the Sports Animal, which is our flagship station, and is the number one ranked sports station in the state. You know, gets a big rating, and that's awesome. You know, so it's the best, and it's a giant signal. The AM signal covers like six states. The FM signal's great in town, and we couldn't be on a better flagship. And that puts a lot of pressure on you too, because you know they're people are listening and they want to hear a good broadcast. The other way is on the internet. You could do it through the app. The Smokies have an app. TuneIn Radio has an app that you could actually record the games on TuneIn Radio. You just type in Tennessee Smokies on there and then record the game, and then you could listen to the Cubs or watch them. And then when you're done, hey, you know what? You got us. And you could fast forward the commercials. Also, MILB has an app as well. And then the other way, which is pretty cool, is that there's MILB TV, where you can watch the game, and then would have our call over top of it for home games. So those are the ways to do it. And I do encourage Cub fans to support the Smokies, and I'd love to hear from you at Broadcaster Mick on Twitter. I want to, you know if you guys are listening and appreciate all the great Cubs fans that have supported the team and our broadcast over the years.
Yeah, well, I mean, just in watching you guys today, you know, obviously our listeners are very engaged with social media, and Twitter and everything, and so it's really cool that you kind of integrate that into the broadcast, and I would assume you do that with the Smokies games too.
Yeah, well, that's part of it. You know, Cubs.com and MLB.com, it's being able to talk to the audience at a different level and joke around and, you know, and have some fun. And you know, it doesn't always work. You know, some people don't get it when you're kidding, you know. But you can kind of do that too, and you got to be careful with it. But at the same time, I'd say 99.9% of the time, people appreciate the that interaction. And, you know, you get to ask Glenn questions and stuff like that. So I think that's fun. I love hearing Len's answers, honestly. I love to hear what his thoughts are, and he's on the ball. I mean, I don't ever remember him saying something and me being like, that's just not right. I think he's just money, you know. He really is. So that's a fun part of it. Kerry Muscat from MLB.com, the beat writer, you know, she's kind of part of our team too, because we all, you know, it's through Cubs.com, and
right.
So she says that she really likes it too when we get into the Twitter questions and all that stuff. So yeah, it's a big part of it, and I'm sure the business will change and be different next year. But that's where we're at right now.
Right. All right. Well, thanks a lot for sitting down with us, and thanks for letting us, you know, push the buttons and turn the dials on them for the broadcast today.
No, you guys did a great job. I appreciate having you here, and also, you know, the fact that you're doing a podcast and that you're passionate about Cubs baseball. That's what it's all about, you know. And just keep saying great things about the Cubs.com broadcast, in particular the minor league guy on there. Thanks for the T-shirt, and good luck. And guys, please keep in touch. And then again, anyone out there, you know, if you're going to be at a Smokies game this summer, make sure you wave and say hi, and look forward to that day that we can see the Cubs get that pennant and win the World Series.
So a big party.
Yeah, all right.